How is everybody doing? And welcome back for another Strength Chat episode. Today, I've not just got one special guest for you all. I've got two very special guests. Today, I'm joined by the founder of Indie Performance and a sports dietitian. Today, I'm joined by Paige Mills and Leah Heigl. How are you both doing?
Hey, mate. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We are great.
No worries at all. I always like to pause a little bit when there's two guests on. I know it's like a little bit of a domino effect. Who's gonna go first? Who's gonna jump in? but how are you both doing? What has been happening in your worlds recently?
You go first, Leah. What have you been doing?
Oh gosh. Well, I actually just came back from a week off of work. Took a little bit of a break, which has been lovely. Haven't had that in a while. But otherwise, very busy doing sports dietetic stuff. And just, yeah, doing a little work and training.
Nice. Did you manage to go away anywhere? Was it a holiday or?
No, I just stayed at home and did nothing for a week.
That sometimes sounds like a good week. Paige, what's been happening in your world as well?
Lots, but nothing much. I'm training for a full distance Ironman. So I voluntarily let it completely take over my life for the short term. So I've been very busy and time poor, but literally all I've been doing is training and working from home. I've been a bit of a hermit.
Oh well, it'll pay off when you do the competition. I must admit, yeah, doing Ironmans is something that's not crossed my mind. Maybe just yet. I might not hold off saying it. I won't ever do one. Well, no, I probably won't actually. So obviously, I did a little bit of a brief introduction there. And for everyone listening, obviously, Paige was actually on an episode back in episode 123, actually, which was a really popular episode that you all enjoyed. But Leah, first appearance, debut on Strength Chat. Just want to give a little bit of for anyone listening, just want to give a little bit of a background to yourself in training and obviously, you know, getting involved in being a sports dietitian.
Yeah, so I've been a sports dietitian for several years now, mainly working with a lot of performance athletes. I do predominantly work with strength athletes, but also a lot of combat athletes and endurance athletes, but also a lot of gen pop as well. So it just depends on what people come to me for. And I'm also a powerlifter, so I do competitive powerlifting, and I've been doing that for several years as well, which is what kind of led me into this as a career.
Oh, nice. And what was the from your own training, was the goal always to become a dietitian, or how did you, because I know from myself being at uni, I enjoyed sort of like the strength conditioning side of things. It's probably only now that I'm trying to look at, you know, nutrition a little bit more, but I can understand that, you know, there's, you know, experts such as yourself in that field. Was that always the goal to get into that, or was it just through your own training?
Yeah, I guess like from a really young age, I did strength training. My mum was a bodybuilder growing up, so I was always in the gym strength training. And then when I decided what I wanted to do as a career, I was like, exercise physiology or dietetics, like something where I can work with athletes. And then I went down this route, became a sports dietitian.
Oh, lovely. And how do you find, because obviously, you know, the Instagram handle of Plant Strong, how do you find, you know, working with, because I know you work with, you know, you've said there are a variety of clients, but also people that aren't vegan or vegetarian, and also both. How do you find that? Because I know sometimes people can be like, oh no, you need to be eating protein. Oh, I'm not. You can't get everything from a vegan or vegetarian diet. How do you find that balance? That might be a little bit of a tangent, but just something that came in my head.
Yeah, no, it is an interesting one. I think that's like a niche that I've kind of found for myself in my own private practice. A lot of what we do at Indie is a lot of more so non-vegan and vegetarian stuff, but I do have my private practice, which is more niche like that. But it can be a difficult one to navigate online when obviously there is quite a lot of you know, like people think that you need to not eat meat and animal products to be a strength athlete or an athlete in general. And I think that I just enjoy kind of coming up against that and, you know, sharing my knowledge to people in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. I was lucky enough to speak with, I don't know if you've heard of him, a powerlifter called Ryan Stills, which I didn't realize he's a he's in the 120 plus category, I think, in powerlifting. And he's a vegan. He's a vegan athlete, which I didn't realize. And yeah, there's some of the numbers that he puts up. I thought that was pretty cool. So obviously, the next question then, you know, how did you two come together to work together? How did that come about? How did the dream team start? Do you want to give a little touch a little bit on that? And how did Indie Performance come about?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll speak on the founding of Indie, but I can't remember how Leah and I became connected. Did I just post about looking for a coach?
And yeah, you were just like, hey, I'm looking for a dietitian and someone to kind of help me start this thing. And I was like, hey, I'm a powerlifter. You were a powerlifter at the time. So I thought, you know, reach out and connect.
Yeah, cool. And it was just luck that she was an accredited practicing dietitian as well, because I probably just would have hired anyone who's done like an online course. I didn't realize at the time, I didn't know anything about the nutrition industry at the time. It was a very small, how many nutrition clients do you think there were when you came on? Like less than 10?
Five or six? Yeah. Yeah,
it was basically just my strength coaching clients who wanted the nutrition done by someone, and I was like, oh, I don't want to turn the work away. So that's how it happened. I was a power lifter and my Instagram was growing, and I opened a gym and I started doing online coaching as well. And then my clients were trying to make weight classes as they got more serious about competing, and they were kind of like, oh, I need to drop some weight, or maybe just some gen pop people who just wanted to drop some weight for aesthetics or whatever, or for their health. And I found that people were not signing up for strength coaching with me because they said, oh, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to go with someone who offers both nutrition and strength coaching. And I remember thinking like, oh, I can see how that would be appealing, but I wouldn't want to sign up to someone who does both. I'd want to have a strength expert coaching me for strength and a dietitian coaching me for my diet, not someone who's like, oh, yeah, I can do both. I'll figure it out kind of thing. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll just offer the service to my existing clients to see, just to see if that stops people from, you know, not signing up because of the lack of the diet. Because like, I'm not qualified on paper to give dietary information, and I'm not really qualified in lifestyle either. Like, I don't completely practice what I preach, and I don't know the ins and outs. I don't know how many grams are in a chicken breast of protein. Like, I've got no idea. So I really wanted to hire someone who knew their stuff and whose whole career was nutrition. So that's how it came about. And then the nutrition part just took off, and now it's bigger than the strength.
Oh, cool. I think with that as well, you know, that only adds value to the service that people are working with, because, you know, building that team of experts around there in specific areas, you know that they're going to get the best out of it. You know, I'm pretty similar. I like a beer and a cookie sometimes at the same time, you know, to then give information. Whereas if you've got, you know, knowledge in that area, it makes it so much better, and you're going to get so much value from that. Obviously, diving into sort of the work that you do, and in terms of obviously working with a lot of strength athletes and the performance side of things, I think sometimes there can be, or people or maybe clients will ask the question of, what's the difference between nutrition for performance and nutrition for just everyday life? What is the difference? Does there have to be, you know, a complete turnaround, and you can never, you know, not have, you know, your favorite treats or desserts or anything when you're training for performance? Is there actually a difference, or is it just a case of tweaks to then get better at training or on the platform or for whatever it may be? That kind of makes sense.
I think it depends how serious you are about it, right?
100%. I think it depends on, like, I mean, there are a lot of things that you'd want to do as an athlete that you'd also want to do for general health. I think, like, health is still important as an athlete, so you'd want to have that base level, but then you've got the extra considerations of what's going to make me perform the best in my sport and what's going to help me recover the best. So it's like extra layers on top of what you do as someone who is just focusing on health.
Yeah. And with the as a start point, when people are coming in, do you find that when people come in and they want that extra nutrition for performance, that they've maybe done a little bit of research themselves, or does it matter where their starting point is? Is it the fine tweaks that they're looking for? Because I know, you know, for myself, I actually went up a couple of weight classes, didn't really do it the right way. I just thought, how do you put weight on? You just eat more. That's not always the best thing, because in terms of, you know, recovery, that's not going to be as good. Does it vary on the starting point of the clients that you work with, and does that sometimes matter?
Yeah, I think like we have clients that are starting at like the very, very basics of nutrition, and like they're just learning what a calorie is at that point. We're starting very, very basic. And then there's other clients that come in with years of experience as athletes, and they've done nutrition stuff, but they just want someone else to manage their nutrition for them because it's something they don't really want on their plate. So I think it just depends on where that athlete is starting or where that person is starting in terms of how we actually like manage that ongoing.
Yeah. And do you think when you said about health there, do you think sometimes just actually making, because I know, again, probably because, you know, from myself being a powerlifter as well, there's a train of thought of as powerlifters, just eating anything and everything. Whereas I think across the board, it's getting a little bit more professional in terms of things that happen and outside of competition to look after your bodies. You know, because when you look at other athletes in terms of weightlifters, for example, or football or rugby players or whatever it may be, obviously there is that professional element. Do you think sometimes just making the athlete healthier can improve their performance? That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, especially when it comes to powerlifters. I think strength athletes in general, specifically powerlifters, have a tendency to focus a lot on, yeah, just eat enough and get enough protein, but not really think about vitamins and minerals and general dietary quality, and sometimes fine-tuning that can really put their recovery like over the edge and help out a lot. But that is something I see more so in powerlifting than other sports, where we kind of lose that health focus a little bit for whatever reason. I think it might be the culture to a certain extent.
Yeah, and what with that, because, you know, there is so much information out there to filter through. There's loads of different diets saying you've got to do this, you've got to take that supplement. Is that, do you think, or are your thoughts that the powerlifting community are sometimes struggle to filter out what's actually relevant, rather than thinking, oh well, I've got to take this, or I've got to take that, or I've got to eat this? Do you think it's maybe an education side of things to try and filter out that information?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's probably just powerlifters. I say it's probably everybody who doesn't really have the background in, like, if you don't have background in something, I think it's hard to filter through information, since the internet is full of like a wide array of misinformation. So it can be, don't put that on just on powerlifters, it kind of is everyone. like kind of strength training in general, like we kind of take, you know, bits and pieces from it when we're not sure what we're doing. Yeah, I feel like to a certain extent, we probably need a little bit more focus on not those really just the easy wins, but the basics. So I think like moving away from just being like supplement focused and going, well, actually I could probably just like make my dietary quality a little better, make sure I'm getting enough protein daily, get enough calories, rather than taking my branched chain amino acids every day and forgetting about the basics. I think that's something that happens a lot.
Yeah. And just touching that on as well, kind of from both sides, from the sports dietitian side and probably from the coaching side, for you, Paige, as well, what's kind of the common questions or common mistakes that you find people doing when it comes to their nutrition, whether it's eating enough before a session, in and around training? Because, yeah, sometimes people can have real big clangers. You know, one of the main one is not eating enough protein. Is there something, common mistakes that people find that come up all the time?
I can speak on beginners and entry level people's first exposure to nutrition. I think the biggest mistake they make, which I also made when I was sort of at university, is just that it was kind of all or nothing. Like you asked just before, if you think that people lack education, and in some, yes, I think they do on the more advanced aspects of nutrition, but on the basics, I think they know that, like, if you pulled apart your diet for the last week, I think most people could say, well, that ice cream was suboptimal and that alcohol was suboptimal. And those greens were great. It was great that you had those greens and that you cooked that fresh meat yourself and didn't eat frozen meat or fast food processed meat, or, you know, we sort of know that stuff. But I think a lot of what coaching is managing those things rather than and finding compromises and substitutes and things like that. You just can't tell people to cut that stuff out. I never had a nutrition coach for the first few years because I wasn't willing to cut anything or any of the good stuff out. I was just stubborn. And I just didn't think I could comply. And I think that with beginners, they think that if they sign up for nutrition coaching, they're going to be told to eat chicken and broccoli. And if they put in a family block of chocolate in MyFitnessPal, their coach is going to open up and say, what the fuck, on check-in day? Like, what have you done, you monster? You know? And it's just not like that. Like, I respect people's decisions with their bodies. And if you want to eat junk 6 days a week, but maybe you just want to fix one meal a day and make that better, or you want to lose a little bit of weight but still eat fast food once a day, or, you know, then that's up to you and we can help you manage that as well. But I think I thought I had to eat chicken and broccoli to be a healthy person, and that's just not the case.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Because again, this might be a little bit of a tangent, but it's only so kind of I know me and Paige were chatting before we started recording. I've started working with a different coach, trying to go through a little bit of a rebody composition, and during the first 28 day challenge that I did, I had my birthday, I had my girlfriend's birthday, and I also had a day out drinking all day. And actually, how we worked in terms of managing that was really good. I still lost weight. My waist measurement still went down, and it's still balancing it. Do you think people have a concept of what diet and nutrition is in their head, and where does that kind of come from? Because when you look at, you know, the bodybuilders or the you know, the elite powerlifters, they follow some sort of nutrition, but surely they still drink and go out and do everything, but obviously control it a little bit more. Do you think where do you think that comes from for people thinking that they have to just eat broccoli and chicken and rice?
I think it's a flex for the people who really do that. I think they think that means they have better willpower than everyone else and whatever. So whether they're being honest or not, perhaps there's some dishonesty around some people's diets at the top. I think that there's unfortunately some shame involved in admitting online that you're a professional bodybuilder and you binged and purged, or that you know, got really drunk 3 weeks out from a comp because your girlfriend broke up with you or something like that. I don't think people want to post that. And up until like 10 years ago, we didn't have data around those people in between couch potatoes and elite athletes because there was no social media to go off. So the only people that we were hearing about their diets were like bodybuilders at the top who were being featured in maybe a magazine or going on the news or, you know, maybe even on a YouTube clip. And their diet is extreme. That's why they got singled out for that publication, because it was, it was a remarkable diet. But we didn't see the people who were doing bodybuilding shows and still eating, you know, a bit of chocolate with lunch or something like that. But I think it's improving. I think that people are understanding that people are starting to see that extreme diets and talking in extremes as a diet coach is a red flag. I think people are starting to recognize that.
Yeah, definitely. And especially touching on the bodybuilders, the bodybuilding side of things, they won't eat like that all year round. You know, it's similar to when people see them on the stage, for example, you know, at that low body fat percentage, they're like that for the show. They're not walking around like that, you know, all the time. They have to have an off season. Similar to, you know, powerlifters, they wouldn't do a powerlifting competition every single week because, yeah, you'd be knackered all the time eating food around that. Just in terms of again, maybe another tangent, just building on what you mentioned there. In terms of people struggling with food, because you hear about people having binges or issues with food. When it comes to squat, bench, deadlift, for example, everyone can accept that squat, bench, deadlift, that's what you do. When it comes to nutrition, obviously, I think that's maybe a little bit more personal and individualized. Not saying that training isn't, but if you squat, bench, and deadlift, everyone can squat, bench, and deadlift. Yeah. Do you think sometimes because, or from your both of your experiences, do you think sometimes because nutrition is so individualized that you can come up against barriers sometimes to change habits, maybe change lifestyle as well?
I think so, just because I think you could give 100 people the same powerlifting program with progressive overload and they'd probably all get stronger on it. And maybe you'd be neglecting some weaknesses and things like that. But generally speaking, especially if they're intermediate lifters, they're all going to get stronger on the same program. But yeah, if you put everyone on the same calories or the same macros, especially males and females, or, you know, tall, short, big, small, active, inactive, like there's so many more variables, I think. What do you think, Leah?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to like, everyone's approach is so wildly different, because if you think about how your nutrition has to fit into every aspect of your life, every minute of the day, that's going to look completely different for everybody. Where I think like with training, like we're training 4 times a week, we're all doing the same stuff. Like most people can fit that in a very similar way to one another, but nutrition, like it's just so different. It can depend on who you're living with. It can depend on what you do for work. There's just like so many other factors that feed into it that you have to manage individual to individual.
And it's 24/7. Like powerlifting training might be 10 hours a week. Nutrition is 24/7. That's what I've always struggled with. To tick off what's on a powerlifting program might be 8 to 10 hours a week. I feel like most people can commit to 8 to 10 hours a week, but to commit to 24/7 of no slip ups is really hard at any level.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a conversation with a client, and for whatever reason, she started training on a morning just because she was traveling a lot with work, and she didn't. It's something like she had an evening meal at kind of 6 o'clock in the evening, then came in to train at 8 o'clock the next morning. So it was like 12 hours where she hadn't had any food. And she just thought, oh, well, I ate yesterday and I ate and I've had like a banana for my breakfast. And I was like, well, I know obviously everyone needs to sleep. But if I was to say, right, you can't eat any food whilst you're awake, that's still 12 hours. You still need to eat. You know, still need to eat regularly. Whereas, yeah, I think people think that, you know, your body starts and stops when you go to sleep and wake up. Whereas, you know, having food, you know, around when you go into bed, when you're waking up and fueling yourself for that is important, rather than, you know, not eating as regularly. In terms of the strategies when a client comes in, then what's the process of working with, you know, in indie performance, what's the strategy of piecing all these puzzles together then? Because we've touched on, you know, common mistakes, planning. What's the process?
Yeah, our approach is really to, like, the first thing we do with all of our clients is try to figure out as much about them as possible. So not only, like, all of our clients come to us with different goals. So whether that's body recomposition, muscle gain, fat loss, performance stuff, maybe it's general health, like it could be a whole trifecta of that. So we want to know what their goals are, but also a lot about their lifestyle and like exactly, so we can figure out exactly how to manage their nutrition in a way that is going to work for them. I think that first couple of weeks is really crucial for, especially for me as their dietitian, to really get to know them quite well and pretty much go, okay, here's a plan. In theory, this is going to work great. And then we test it out for a couple of weeks and go, okay, what are all the barriers to success that we came up against? And then one by one, we kind of like tear those down and process those and find a way that we can have a flexible nutrition plan in place for that person's goals that really works for them. And that's realistically like an ongoing process. But we kind of hope over like a few months of working together that they'll start to be able to pick up on those barriers to success themselves and start to, you know, manage that themselves. But I think it's taking someone through that process of learning how, like teaching them what nutrition looks like for them or what it should look ideally. And then together, it's kind of like teamwork to figure out how that fits into their life.
Yeah, that sounds really good, and you kind of you must have been reading my notes, but with the teamwork the teamwork side of things, is there do you find that sometimes people just want to be like, just tell me what to eat, just tell me what the plan is, rather than actually being having that, like what you said there, you know, gets to the point where they're managing it. Does that happen more often than not, of people just wanting to be told what to eat? What do I eat to make my training better? Is that a question that you get?
Yeah, 100%. People ask for meal plans a lot. And I'm not like anti-meal plan. I think meal plans can be great, especially if you're starting from scratch and you just have no idea. But I really like them more as an example of what to do. And then you learn, like, okay, what is good about this? And how can I apply this in a way that is flexible? Because I think, like, if you just tell someone exactly what to do, they can't then change. Like, things are going to happen on a day-to-day and a weekly basis that make that specific plan that you set in place not doable. So then you have to kind of throw it all out the window. So we want to teach people, okay, like, if you don't have this specific plan, how do you still reach your goals and be flexible towards that plan?
Yeah.
And I think a meal plan would work forever if you paid your coach forever to have it written and updated for you as your goals change and your activity change and everything. It would also work forever if you never stayed at your mum's place overnight, or you never had Christmas lunch, or you never went on a date or anything like that. A meal plan only really allows for your routine days, where you get up at the same time, you go to work, you go to the gym, and you go home and watch some TV and go to bed. And it's kind of a case of, like, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, teach a man a fish and he'll eat for a lifetime, right? We want to teach people to, I guess, write their own meal plans, really. We want to teach people to manage their nutrition themselves. We don't want them to have to pay for our service forever.
Yeah. I always liken it. I'm a big fan of an analogy, and I always like to think of, once you leave school or graduate, you then don't go back to school. At some point, you need to go and live in the real world. You know, it gets to that point. You get taught the basics and all those sorts of things, and then you've got to try and you know, look after it yourself. In terms of the, so you touched on there as well, you know, if training changes or a competition's coming up, or which we'll touch on, you know, maybe going from powerlifting to Ironman, your nutrition may change. How does that, does your nutrition change around that as well? Or is there sometimes going to be a case of, we're going to aim for this nutritional goal, but our training's going to change slightly? Do they match each other, or is there any time where they have different focuses? If that kind of makes sense, what I've said.
Leah, for yours.
I think nutrition should always adapt around what you're doing in training. Like, I think if you have a specific goal for training as an athlete, your nutrition should then match that. So it's always going to be something that's always adapting. Like, rarely do I ever have a client who I'm working with on a nutritional basis where their nutrition just stays the same for a really long time, regardless of training volume and training type changing. I think it's always going to be one of those things that have to work and change together.
Yeah, definitely. Because obviously you said there about planning together. When a client first comes in, it's a case of, right, let's try this for a week and then change it around. Because obviously, you know, there can be a thought process of, right, I'm gonna start working on my nutrition. My performance is just gonna absolutely skyrocket. In terms of actually seeing results, is it an instant change, or, like with anything, get stronger? You need to work at it. You need to get better. And that's how you get stronger. You get more kilos on your total when you're on the platform. In terms of working on your nutrition for performance, what's the impact of it? Because everyone wants to know. That's why these quick fixes, these diets that everyone sees, everyone wants that silver bullet or that magic pill. What's kind of the process to see that impact on performance?
I think, like, it depends on your base, right? Like, if you're starting from a pretty poor nutritional base and you go to something that is pretty much optimal from a nutrition perspective, just looking at performance alone, you're going to probably see those changes pretty drastically and pretty quickly. But also just in the long term, in terms of training adaptations, like, if your nutrition is bang on, or at least kind of close enough to it, that's going to happen a lot faster. You're probably going to get a lot better at your sport faster. You're probably going to avoid injuries a lot more. So I think nutrition is such a huge part of being an athlete that is often neglected, and it can take you from pretty average athlete to a pretty good athlete in just in terms of just focusing on having that focus on nutrition. Although I think one of the biggest mistakes that athletes usually make is they'll come into nutrition only thinking about body composition changes and forget about how that's actually going to impact their training performance and recovery. So there's sometimes a mismatch between people's performance goals and their body composition / nutrition goals, which sometimes need to be married up.
Yeah. And is that when you say about body composition goals, is that either people staying in a weight class, dropping down, going up? Because I know sometimes people can be, they never want to go up a weight class, because that means they're going to put weight on, or, you know, everyone wants to, like myself right now, get drop down a weight class, because then I'll be lean, I can buy a new singlet, I can do all these other things. Is that kind of what you mean in terms of the body composition, where sometimes they're going to actually hinder their progress?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of powerlifting specifically, I've been working in powerlifting for a long time, and I have a lot of thoughts around body composition and weight classes and performance, which I won't kind of go completely into, because I could be here for like hours talking about that. But I think a lot of the time people want to get way stronger and way smaller simultaneously. And sometimes that's just not gonna happen. Like sometimes that's a doable thing, 100%. Like, and sometimes you do need to lean out to be better on the platform from a power to weight ratio point of view. But a lot of people just want to be really, really, really lean and leaner and try to get way, way stronger. And I'm like, they're not really matching at the moment. Like, what do you want?
Yeah. And is that where, again, just as you were saying there, sometimes people might be, or do you ever find that sometimes you work with clients or athletes where there might be intermediate level in terms of training, in terms of the goals, but in terms of nutrition, like they're complete beginners. They have no they've got a basis, but they can, what's the best way to, I don't know the best way to describe this, intermediate in terms of nutrition, so they just need fine tweaks for their training. They've got a solid base of nutrition, but it's a case of, right, actually they can make a lot more progress to then progress as a lifter. That makes sense.
In terms of, like, I think there are a lot of intermediate athletes who have fairly decent nutrition and could be just like, they probably just need to tweak things to like get to that higher level of their sport. But I think at the elite level, I think it matters a little bit more because people are a lot closer together in terms of competition.
Yeah, that was the answer that I was looking for. And I'm glad you answered that, because I didn't think I explained that very well. That makes sense. Because, you know, it's you are going to make progress. You are going to make progress with things. It's just relative to the way you are, because especially at the elite level, you know, it's those small margins that are going to make the difference, which is really important. Touching on that in terms of the training, nutrition around training, and obviously training goals, obviously going from powerlifting, lifting quite a lot of weight, to then going to Ironman, what's how has your nutrition changed, Paige?
It's changed a lot. It's changed a lot, but it wasn't so much that I made the decision that I'm going to change my nutrition because I've changed sports. I think that I just went through a big lifestyle change when my training changed a lot, and that just affected my diet as a bit of a byproduct of that. But I'll be the first to admit that I was a bit of a cowboy when I was powerlifting, in terms of like, I'd be 7 kilos above my weight class 8 weeks out from a meet, and I'd be like, oh, I'll make it. I'll lose 10% of my body fat, and then my body weight, not body fat, 10% of my body weight in the next 8 weeks, no worries. And then, you know, sometimes I was doing my final deadlift days, like pulling like PRs, and I've only had 400 calories before training, and then I'll only have 800 after, and that's my day. Like, it wasn't good. But I didn't want to go up a weight class because I was not earning a living from being a powerlifter. I was earning a living from being a fitness model in the powerlifting space. And so it was in my best interest to be lean. If I wanted, you know, I had a better chance of a career in the sport by looking good doing it than I did by being elite in my lifting, you know. So that was a factor, which some people may look down on that, like that makes me a bit of a sellout, like I was keeping a low body weight and affecting my performance for the money. But the fact is, I just loved the job. It was just a really cool job to do, and it was an incredible experience, and I don't regret any of it. But also, when you go up a weight class, you go from the heaviest guy in your last weight class to the smallest guy in the next one. And there's that little bridging time where you're going to be really weak in that weight class.
Absolutely. No. I went up to the I went from the 105s to the under 120s, and I think my first competition at a 120 was I think I weighed 110. Like, when there's guys who have got 9 kilos on you, it definitely definitely adds on the definitely adds on there on the platform.
Plus in weight cuts and stuff.
Say that again, sorry.
Plus weight cuts. You don't know how much they weigh on the day. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And with that, in terms of, you know, because we touched on at the start surrounding sort of health versus performance, do you think because you're doing Ironmans that maybe some of the things that you've added in have been for health but have improved your performance as well, or necessarily just eating, you know, more because of the amount of volume of training that you're doing with the running and cycling and all those sorts of things?
Yeah. My hunger is astronomically increased since I was powerlifting, for sure. And I think it's almost a case of, like, if you're eating like 2,000 calories a day and a lot of that's junk food, you don't feel too sick from that. But if you're eating like 3,500 calories a day and a lot of that's junk food, you feel really shit after that. So I think I just started eating cleaner. So I did a half Ironman first, and I started eating cleaner just because it made me feel good during training. And feeling light, like being a low body weight, made me feel athletic and nimble, which isn't that beneficial in powerlifting. You kind of feel little and weak when you're light in powerlifting. But when you're running and you feel light on your feet, I just felt better. So when I did the half Ironman, I was like, cool, I'm going to use this. I'm going to not increase my calories. I'm going to use this to lose a bit of winter fat and, use it to push myself further into a calorie deficit. And I got really quite lean, and then now I'm training for an Ironman, and it's like I'm too scared to like, I'm just terrified of under eating. It's almost like an irrational fear of under eating, because I like feel like I'm going to go for a 3-hour run and I'm just going to pass away. If I don't eat enough, I'm just going to pass away. It's going to be the end of me. So I'm probably about 2 or 3 kilos above where I like to be aesthetically and athletically at the moment. But I'm just don't have the guts to get in a calorie deficit 3 weeks out from, I trained 18 hours last week. Like, I just don't want to do that hungry. So it can wait. It's not going to affect my performance. It's just aesthetically, I don't look great at the moment. I'm a bit soft. So I'll wait until after the race. But it just goes to show that, like, I've been managing my nutrition for so long, and I was in charge of it, in control of it to the gram all through powerlifting. And I still overestimated, in such a drastic change in lifestyle and training, I still overestimated how many calories I needed to fuel the training that I'm doing. So it is a bit of trial and error. Each person's different. You know, even a dietitian can't perfectly forecast how many calories I'm going to need doing Ironman versus powerlifting. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I could think of, especially if you're going for a 3-hour run, that's a long time to be hungry. I'm searching for food if I'm hungry after an hour. So, yeah, doing that for 3 would be tough. With that, because again, just something that came up, it might be a little bit of a tangent, but you have seen, or I've certainly seen, you know, a lot of powerlifters giving other things a go. There's a couple of powerlifters that I know that have started doing CrossFit just for something a little bit different, because even though powerlifting is, you know, I love being on the platform, I think it's a great community every time I've been to a competition or just going to other gyms and training. However, doing squat, bench and deadlift can sometimes be a little bit repetitive. So, you know, they can go and do strongman or something like that. Or, you know, like what you've done, Paige, go and you do something at maybe the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of Ironman. In terms of working with them on the nutrition side of things, how difficult or common, or what do you find in terms of changing those goals and finding what they're working on from a dietitian's point of view, Leah?
In terms of people like wanting to change sports and Yeah. So I think it still depends on what their long-term goals are, because if they're just kind of taking a brief hiatus, let's say from powerlifting to do a marathon, like we may not want to get them from their maybe huge kind of muscular physique to a tiny little marathon runner if their long-term goal is to go back to powerlifting. But in the short term, like based on changes in training type and training volume, like what you need to fuel that and to recover from that is probably going to look pretty different. And in that short term, we'll have to change things for sure.
And with that, for the longer term change, especially if you're looking to go from a bigger figure to drop it down, is sometimes can that be sometimes geared by poor health? I know we touched on it at the start, but is there ever a point where if people are saying, yeah, I'm going to go up a weight class, yeah, I'm going to increase, where it gets to a point where we either need to level out there or sometimes look to drop down?
From just a health perspective, going up a weight class, I feel like that is, I mean, it's usually more of an issue in like the larger weight classes. If you're looking to gain a lot of body fat, or if you have a lot of body fat and you're like still wanting to go up a weight class, you have to look at, okay, where's your cholesterol? Where's your blood pressure? Like, what are your triglycerides at? Like, you still have to take all that into consideration before you go, yeah, I'm going to go from the 110s to the 120s. Maybe you have to get a little leaner before you do that. So I think health should probably be a consideration at those higher weight classes when you're carrying more body fat and you're wanting to go up. And then I think, having any kind of performance enhancing drugs definitely adds an element there where you'd also want to be thinking about your health.
Yeah, I always like to touch on a question like that, because what always sticks in my head whenever you're talking about nutrition or performance. Have you both ever watched West Side versus the World?
Of
Yeah.
course.
So I watched that, and there's a scene in there where he goes to one of the Louis Simmons goes to obviously one of the lifters. You need to go up a weight class, and he's like, I can't eat anymore. I can't go up there. And that's where it's kind of that balance of, powerlifting. Yeah, is important to people, and they want to achieve goals. But equally, we're still all humans. We still need to walk around day to day, be able to bend over and tie our shoelaces. There's got to be a little bit of a balance there. Quite a lot of topics and a few tangents thrown in there from me as well. But the last question that I like to ask, let's see who's going to go first. For everyone listening, what would be both of your take-home points or words of wisdom?
Give us a
Go
nutrition answer here.
ahead.
You go first,
I
and I'll
think
pop in.
Okay, I think my words of wisdom would be when you're thinking about nutrition as an athlete or even just someone who's, just into exercise, having that trifecta of performance focus, health focus, but also enjoying food and having a social life is really important. I think all three of those things can coexist in everybody's life, and we should really be aiming to find something that is kind of, a Venn diagram of all of those things rather than being super focused on just one aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just want to advocate for, I'm a person who has, I know we hate the word clean eating now on social media, but when I use the term clean eating, you all know what I mean. But I basically, my whole life, even at 13% body fat, I would still be eating fast food every day and chocolate every day. And I was never a heavy drinker, but I would have a drink or two every couple of days with dinner because I was dining out so much. And I was just always like, well, I'm performing fine and I just don't want to give it up. Like, it's just like a lifestyle choice of mine. That's just what I want to do. Some people take recreational drugs, some people take performance enhancing drugs. I just want to eat fast food. And when I started training for my half Ironman, I thought, I'll just experiment. I'll just be strict. And I don't think people should try and like overnight cut out everything they love. I don't think that's sustainable. But I was like, you know what? Let me just keep myself a week of like really, truly only eating foods that nourish me. And every single aspect of my life improved. My energy, like I should have had less energy because I was in a huge calorie deficit and I was training more than I ever have in a sport that I was new at. And I had so much energy and I was just constantly, my my thinking was so clear. I just wanted to work all the time. I'd have a great business idea, you know, and I'd get up at 5 in the morning dying to bounce out of bed and implement it and research it and hire someone. And it was just so good for every aspect of my life. And because I was more efficient, I had more time for friends and family. So I was working more and training more and still doing the good shit, you know. Yeah. I just encourage people to, we all know we should be eating better, and you know, people would kind of tell me that, and I tell them to shut up. I know what I should be eating and I don't want to, but I just urge you to give it a crack. It really does. I hate to admit it, but it really does improve every aspect of your life, I think.
Absolutely. You know, it's what fuels us. You know, it gives us that energy. You know, we can feel crap from not eating very well, but equally we can feel, you know, really good. And again, you know, I think a lot of people have that that foundation knowledge of some of the basics, but I think part of it is implementing it a little bit. You know, I always use, again, I, you know, big fan of an analogy. I always use the analogy of, if my car's broken, I don't try and fix it myself. I, you know, go to a mechanic to try and fix it. That's the same with, you know, working with a coach, working with a dietitian. You know, you're going to go to somebody who's got knowledge and experience in that area. Thanks a lot for you both taking the time to jump on. If anyone has any questions about what we've chatted about today, see the content that you put out there, or even work with you both, where can people find you or reach out to you?
If you're interested in working with Indie Performance, you can reach out to Indie Performance on Instagram, or you can go to the website, indieperformance.com. We've got spots open. My Instagram is BikerBitty, which I decided I'm going to finally change to, because it's not professional, to Paige Mills. Search Paige Mills on Instagram, you'll find me. And what about you, Leah?
So you can find me on Instagram, and I'm plantstrong_dietitian. But otherwise, you can find me through Indie in anywhere that we have Indie located, mainly Instagram and the website.
Awesome. Thanks again for you both taking time to jump on. Really enjoyed chatting with you both today. Thanks a lot to everyone listening, and I will see you all next week.